Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Reaction Time. We are reacting to videos from the film industry in which we find that the film industry raises certain kind of theological doubts and philosophical doubts as well. In order to react to these videos, we have Sheikh Ali Hemani in the studio. Sheikh Ali Hemani, assalamu alaikum and welcome to
Reaction Time. Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's been a lovely time being here
and
doing all these series, inshallah. But it has been my pleasure to be here and, you know, provide these inputs to the audience here.
Yeah, it was our honor to have you, and we thank you for coming on the Islamic Pulse platform and relaying these very important messages, your knowledge, your wisdom, mashallah.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
Bless you. So we're continuing with these videos, of course, which raise these theological doubts and raise these kind of questions within us subconsciously that tend to bother us. Is what you have been, you know, teaching us over the course.
We've been talking about that essence that, you know, of late, these movies are now focusing on derailing the youth from this tracks of being pious, being religious, and being spiritual. Because if you've looked at some of the episodes earlier, it's not about just Islam. They're targeting Christianity, they're targeting Judaism. So primarily they're just targeting every religion because it's the religion which gives you the guidelines of life. It says, you know, if you want to be pious, do this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this, and don't do this. And they want to tell you that stop following religion. If you really want to follow, follow us. We will give you the joy of life, right? So religion is just hoax. So that's something that they're trying to emphasize. And today we're going to look at a clip where, you know, very subtly it points out to this very aspect that, you know, you don't have to be, you know, loyal to anything around you. You don't even have to be loyal to religion, not even loyal to us, right?
Sure.
But then somewhere you feel, you know, indebted to these movies because somewhere you feel that, oh, they've opened my eyes. So, you know, at least one thing that I can depend on and count on to show me the right path, right? So knowingly, unknowingly, you tend to be loyal to them. I know a lot of youths who are Shia, who come from a pious family, whose parents are regular reciters in community centers, but the children are crazy Marvel fans, and they're like, you know, I can't miss one single movie. I know in and out of the Marvel universe. You know, this universe connects with that, and they know the backstory of Spider-Man. They know the backstory of, you know, I don't know, Kang and Ant-Man and Quantum Universe, and where did this come from? Where did Gork come from? They know in and out of it. And they're like, you know, when the movie is out there, I just have to go and watch it. One instance, I can tell you that the mother sends me a message and she says that, you know, please advise my son, you know, tell him, guide him, whatever. And he told me that he's going to reach out to you and ask a question. So please guide him correctly. I'm looking forward to you. And then the son sends me a message and he says, like, Maulana, I have a question. I said, okay, go ahead. He says, on 7th of Muharram, this movie, Marvel movie, I don't remember which part of it, is releasing. And I want to go watch first show, first day in theaters. Is it okay if I go on 7th of Muharram? It's Ayyam-e-Azadari. I want to watch first day, first show in the theaters.
And I'm like, brand loyalty, as we said.
Exactly. And I'm like, what happens if you, you know, I didn't want it to totally break him down. So I said, what happens if you go 1 week later after Ashura? Like, no, it has to be first day, first show.
Because amazing.
Now the question that...
It's like namaz-e awwal-e waqt type thing, right?
Exactly. And the question that bothered me the most, and I really blatantly put it out to him, was that, are you there first day, first show for Imam Hussein, or are you there first day, first show for Marvel? He was just, you know, silent for about 30 seconds. And like, you know, okay, now I have to pick between Imam Hussein and I have to pick between this Marvel movie. And I'm like, think about it. You have Imam Hussein here. Are you that dedicated to Imam Hussein? Or are you more dedicated to Marvel series? And he's like, Maulana, I understand and all that, but come still.
On. Yeah. You know, give me a break, Maulana.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, give me a respite. Give me, you know, that 2-hour window and, like, you know, I'm closing my eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not looking. No one's writing about you. So 2 hours, you're free. You can go and do it. I'm like, I leave it to you because you have free will. Yeah, but think about it.
Yeah.
That if the Imam of the time was here and he was calling out Hal Min Nasir, would you tell him that, oh, there's a first day first show, so give me 2 hours break, I'll go watch Marvel, and then I'll come to Maidan-e-Karbala, for example. And then, you know, I just left him with that question. I don't know what happened. Did he go for the movie,
inshallah,
or did he not?
I hope. Inshallah.
But then that's something that we need to understand, that the brand loyalty that these movies are
brand
building,
slavery, as we say.
Brand slavery that these movies are building among the youth is far more than the loyalty of our Shia youth towards the Imam of the time who is alive. Who's not even martyred. You know, I'm not talking about Imam Ali alayhi salam or Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I'm talking about the Imam of the time. Our brand loyalty, our dedication towards the Imam of the time, who's a living Imam, is so poor compared to my dedication to Marvel and DC movies.
You know what's also interesting? I wanted to just add maybe, well, two things. One is this idea that, you know, the commercialization of these movies. So this individual or any of these people who are fans and serious fans of Marvel or Star Wars or DC or you know, these, you know, Transformers as we're going to watch today, there is like millions and millions of dollars of merchandise that goes with this, right? And I think that's something else that should be concerning to parents, is that, you know, I mean, if your kid is, you know, it's got a Marvel hat and Marvel shirt and Marvel shoes and Marvel backpack and Marvel lunchboxes and Marvel, you know, thermos, right? The thing that
they take.
I mean, you are just, and I know it's difficult. I'm not saying it's easy, but you are inculcating that brand slavery yourself upon a child who, I mean, and I don't know what the answer is, but this is what's happening on the ground.
It just reminded me of an instance where one of these guys showed me a collectible DC t-shirt with Superman on it, with a big S on it. It was about $325, and my heart just sunk.
$325.
My heart just sunk, and I was like, "Do you have any idea how many poor children can have a full year of education with that amount of money?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, "No, no, you know why this is $325? Because some part of the T-shirt has that the same fabric." That they've used in the movie for the suit. So that actual style of the fabric is here with that S on it. And I'm like, okay, fine.
Alhamdulillah. 1 year's worth of education for a child.
So much more in countries like India and Pakistan, right?
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah, later on this person has changed and, you know, he's, you know, come towards, you know, charity work and helping and donating and all that. But then the first time he told me, it took me off, you know, with a big surprise.
Yeah,
caught me off guard. Like, someone would be so brand loyal that they would spend that much money to buy one T-shirt, a collectible T-shirt.
Yeah, I mean, so for example, with new movies, I think, that are released, new video games, PlayStation, we haven't even gone into the video game world, right? But these guys also, they'll spend the whole night to try to get that first release of the video game. Cell phones is another thing. I mean, these are all connected, right? They are somehow taking our loyalty, as you said, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the imams, from the religion, from namaz, from Quran, taking that loyalty and focusing it towards these very materialistic things, music, sports, you know, fans and these kind of things, electronics and
$800 lightsabers. You know, they have it in their house to decorate. This is, I don't know, all those characters that are there in Star Wars and all that. So lightsaber for, I don't know, Skywalker, you know, that design.
Darth Vader.
It's Darth Vader and double-sided, you know.
You know, Sheikh, I know we kind of, because it's really interesting, you know, that's why we keep on talking about these things. And they're very relative. In a lot of these movies, we find that the bad guy, because we brought up Darth Vader, right?
Yeah.
The bad guy is very cool. He's, I don't know, they do not portray the bad guy as a bad guy, right? So, for example, if you bring up the name Yazid or Muawiyah, you know, all of a sudden it's like, you know, our teeth and we are punching type thing happens. But when you think Darth Vader, or you think, you know, the Emperor, or you think Thanos, or these kind of guys, you're like, man, that guy's kind of cool. How they condition you to even like the bad guy, you know?
Very interesting point that you've brought up. I was hoping to touch this towards the end of the discussion. So if you remember the Batman trilogy, where it started with The Dark Knight Rises, right? So you had this Joker in it, played by Heath Ledger.
Who apparently committed suicide.
He committed suicide. As of today, everyone around the world says that the best Batman played ever was Heath Ledger until...
The best Joker played was Heath Ledger.
So...
Until the Joaquin Phoenix.
Exactly, until he came in. But before that, everyone's like, Heath Ledger, amazing. And everybody was like, wow, that was eccentric, crazy, messed up Joker, right? And people saw the true villain in him. They could see the craziness in him, right? And then they release a movie, Joker, in which they show the other side of the story and like, no, he actually isn't a villain, right? It's the society that made him a villain.
He's a natural repercussion, consequence.
Exactly. So this is something you need to understand, that the society brought upon themselves by mistreating someone. And that's how the Joker came. At the end of the movie, people were sympathizing with the Joker.
Yeah, they made him their leader, right? As they were writing.
Not just in the movie, the actual viewers were like, man, poor Joker, man. While this guy was the same guy who blew up a hospital.
Insane,
who blew up a hospital with people in it, burned all the money, put all the criminals and citizens of Gotham into two ships, and they said, you blow them up or they will blow you up. He played crazy mind games, and people are like, this guy is crazy. And now they're like, poor Joker. So what they're doing is they're blurring the line between the evil and the good. They're blurring the line between the haq and batil, and making your heart soft towards the batil. Let me give you another example of this series called Lucifer. I don't know if you've heard of it.
It's
a whole series of Lucifer. I haven't watched it. I've just watched a couple of episodes of it. That Lucifer comes to Earth for some reason, something he loses, or he some weapon, or I don't know. I really don't know the backdrop to it. But then he goes and joins police force here, and then he's working with the partner, and he stops crimes, and he stops, you know, big things happening, big losses. And then he's like, you know, okay, I'm going to save some humans. Somewhere they showed Lucifer as the good guy. And he's acting the role model, right? And there are times when he becomes evil, and there are times when he's good. And people are like, yeah, that's okay. That's Lucifer. It's obvious he's going to be evil. But look, he's so good, right? And then you soften the heart of people towards Lucifer. So you're actually blurring the line between haq and batil. And eventually people are like, oh, you can't pick the side. You know, you just can't say this is absolute khair. Remember our earlier discussion, absolute khair mutlaq and absolute virtue. You can't say this is absolute shar and, you know, absolute bad. So there's always a relativity. Something that's absolute good for you can be absolute shar for me. So, and that is where the youth is lost. Like, can I actually say Yazid was wrong? Can I actually say Imam Hussein was all right? Can I say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was all good when he, you know, banished shaitan from the kingdom? Can I say he was doing the right thing when he banished Janabi Adam alayhi salam? Maybe this, maybe that, or, and then the person is lost.
And what's really interesting is that if we take it to the present day, when it comes to political actions, when it comes to the political scenario of the world, then the individual, he's like, well, I don't know, maybe Israel's right, Israel's wrong, Zionism is good, Zionism is bad, Muslims are good, Muslims are bad. And you've totally like destroyed, like you said, this person's differentiation between truth and falsehood.
You're blurring the lines between the black and white.
Sheikh, I wanted to just ask one more thing before we go to the video. I apologize. This idea that when, because when you were talking about the quantum physics and the quantum world and all this stuff, right? How this creates a completely alternative reality for an individual, right? So that alternative, they start to live that art. I mean, right? So when he's telling you all these things, backdrop and, I don't know, foredrop, and this is what happened, and this is how these things connect. And, you know, I mean, like, literally that individual starts to live in a alternative reality disconnected from actual reality. And it's one of the things we talked about in the early episodes is why the new generation cannot carry a conversation, or, you know, they're very socially awkward, or the one guy you said who was afraid to go outside of the house because people are there. This alternative reality that people start living in.
Yeah, and this is something that we're not really paying attention to, because they are the concept of multiverse. And somewhere you tell them that maybe in this multiverse you are, you know, you're subjected to difficulties, but in that universe, you know, you're probably the god and people are worshiping you because there's a probability, and you cannot deny the probability out of all the million probabilities. And in some universe you could be this good guy, some universe you could be, and they actually show it in these serials like, you know, Lois Lane and Lex Luthor. They show Lex Luthor is a good guy in one of the universes, so Superman goes there and like, Lex Luthor, I'm gonna beat you up, and they're like, whoa, wait a minute, I'm on your side, and like, really? Yeah, I'm your side, we're fighting Brainiac, and like, oh, okay, so let's fight Brainiac. So somewhere they're lost, and they're like, you know, okay, fine, in this universe probably I'm having a bad time, but somewhere in another universe I'm doing good, so let me just retract back and, you know, just disconnect from everything so that all these bad times and bad things go away. And, you know, but that's not how life goes on.
And unfortunately it's destroying individuals, you know. So if you start to live in
families, not just the individuals, the whole family institution is getting destroyed here.
Okay, so I guess we're gonna watch
this Transformers clip here. Again, the scene is intense. We got to pay attention to the words that are being used, and then there's a second part towards the end of the same movie, towards the end of it, we're gonna watch. And then we'll discuss the whole thing together. Because if I discuss just this part of it, it won't make sense. So we'll play this.
Okay.
We'll pause. We'll play that part. And together we will discuss it. And it'll make it more. Okay. It'll make more sense to the audience as well.
Okay. I promise I won't interrupt this time.
I feel sorry for you, Prime. Your allegiance to these humans. The trouble with loyalty to the cause is that the cause will always betray you.
Who sent you here?
Where do you think you came from? You think you were born? No. You were built. And your creators want you back. We all work for someone.
So basically servitude. So they're pointing out that, you know, probably we can spend a couple of minutes just to highlight what he was saying.
Sure, so that we don't forget.
He says that you think you're born? No, you were built. Your creators want you back. And we all work for someone. So this is what we say in Islam, that we are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the abd and he's the rab. He created us. And then very clear statement. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So your creator is going to, you know, your creator calls you back. So you return to your creator. That's what he says. Your creator wants you back, right? And we say that, our return is to our creator, right? So he says, oh, don't be dedicated. That the first sentence, don't be dedicated to your cause, because your cause is always going to betray you.
Always is going to betray you.
So this is what he says. And then he captures Optimus Prime, the main lead role, the most powerful of these
Transformers.
And then towards the end of the movie, they win. They, you know, they beat up all the bad guys and send away. And that's when Optimus Prime has to say something. And that is where the essence of the whole movie lies, and the whole message is hidden together. So let's look at that part.
Okay.
And then you will understand why I say that, you know, these movies, they have such intense theological doubts hidden in them.
Okay, all right.
There are mysteries to the universe we were never meant to solve. But who we are and why we are here are not among them. Those answers we carry inside. I am Optimus Prime. And this message is to my creators. Leave planet Earth alone.
Because I'm coming for you.
You can stop this.
Just like the way that they make the movie, right? At the end, it's like you naturally just want to go, yeah.
Yeah.
And what are you going, yeah, to? That I'm coming for you, the creator.
Exactly.
And I'm, you know, going to beat you up left and right.
Exactly.
And I mean, subconsciously and unnaturally, that was my reaction. Yeah, go do it, you know? And it's like, do what? Beat up the creator, Allah. Yeah.
Look at the first sentence he says. Yeah. He says, there are so many mysteries of the universe that are, and they're unsolved, for example, unresolved. But where we come from and why we are here is not among them.
Yeah.
So we know why we are here and why we are created or why do we exist. So we don't have to look for those questions. So rest assured, don't investigate these fundamental questions where Imam Ali alayhi salam says that if you know where you are from, why you are here and where you're heading to, basa'adat, you are among those who are the lucky
prosperous
ones, right? The most prosperous ones. And he says, no, don't go after those questions because that's solved.
It's solved, it's not a big deal.
Just look
don't
inside yourself, right? And so that's solved. Islam also says that look inside your fitrat. But here the fitrat is conditioned because Islam also emphasized that when you're looking inside your fitrat, look at the pure fitrat, not the diluted and conditioned fitrat. But he says, no, don't have to do all that. Just look inside your fitrat. And then he says, leave earth alone.
Right? Yeah, to my creators.
Yeah, I'm telling this to my creators and I'm coming for you. Why? Because time immemorial, it has been well said and well established that in the search so far of any existence, we've come to the conclusion that only life exists on earth as of now. Everything else is permutation and combination.
Right.
Ihtimalat, that possibly, maybe, that exoplanet, that planet, that exists in a, you know, life belt. So possibly, could be, maybe, but we've never really find any life.
Nothing.
So there's actual life on earth, and there's only here that we believe that this was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, created by God. So now he's saying that, God, leave them alone, right?
Yeah. He's commanding God.
And then he's like, you're my creator, but I'm coming for you.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, all of us, when we talk about God, be it Christians or Jews or non-Muslims and Muslims and Hindus and Buddhas or whatever, they look up. This guy flies up
into space,
going towards the God. And then his shield is, you know, with that heat burning red fiercely, and then with that deep voice he says, I'm coming for you. Beware, I'm gonna beat you up, right? And truly,
it's really unbelievable. You know, one of the things, so for example, this idea that, so if he's the force of good being the creation, then the creator is naturally evil, who's making a wrong decision, who's doing bad things, and the creation in this sense is going and he's gonna fight, you know, the evil creator who, you know, is a bad guy.
And that's
reversing.
And that's exactly what they present in the next movie. That the creator was actually a very, you know, conceited, you know, self-focused, self-centered entity. And he goes there. Earlier, he couldn't fight against because she reprograms him. Eventually, they get together and then destroy the creator.
Yeah.
So again, we come back to that first message where we say that man versus God.
Yeah.
The God bends to my will.
Yeah.
So it's like you can fight God if all humanity gets together. There's one God and all of us, 8 billion of us, we can all fight and defeat God.
And what's interesting, so for example, the way that you fight God would be to disobey God, right?
Yeah.
Is to, so you're kind of technically, what they're doing is they're creating little taghuts and people who rebel against the Almighty God, whether it's commands or religion or, you know, or, I mean, and it would really lead to total chaos and destruction of humanity, right?
And like you pointed out, if he's the force of good and our youth want to follow good, and the message he says is that I'm coming for you, I'm not going to follow you, I'm not going to obey you, and that's being macho, then our youth are going to take message from that and are like, yeah, I want to be macho.
Yeah, I want to be good.
Yeah, I want to be cool, good like him. And one of the ways is by not obeying God, by not following the rules and standing up against the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's these messages hidden. A lot of us don't get and understand it, but the subconscious mind processes it. I really, truly emphasize on subconscious mind, because we haven't, Islamically, we haven't done any deep study on subconscious mind. When the data is presented to subconscious mind, it takes all that information, all that pure information, all that diluted information, it mixes it up, and then it starts analyzing that, and then you get commands from your subconscious mind to your conscious mind.
Sure.
Right? So when it takes this information, when it takes that information, when it takes information from the mimbar, when it takes information from a scholar not being able to answer a question, he puts all of that together and like, it's pointless obeying God. Forget it. What good have you witnessed by obeying God?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then starts jumping to conclusions.
And it's a path that leads down to very dark and, you know, can I add one thing here, though? Like,
sure.
So, for example, I noticed also in a lot of the videos, even though they're movies that are geared mainly towards that teenage, you know, like, I don't know, maybe like, you know, 13, 14, or probably younger, Marvel, like you have 8, 9-year-olds that are in love with Marvel, right? So let's say from 8, 9 all the way to like maybe like, I don't know, 30, 34, even though they're also in love.
It goes up to 15.
You know? Yeah, it goes up to. Now, one of the things for this age group of teenagers, which I think are the ones that are probably the most who are able to consume this, because you have a PG-13 rating and, you know, you have to have an adult present to be able to go to the theater and these kind of things. But this, like, you know, like 15, 16 to like, you know, 23, 24, this age group probably consumes the most of these things. One of the things that I noticed is this this aspect of sexualization in these films, right? So even in this Transformer movie, I don't know if this is the first or second or third one, but in every single one of the Transformer movies, which is geared towards young, this age group, men, boys, unmarried, right? There's always a female character which is overtly sexual.
Yeah.
Her clothes are overtly inappropriate. Yeah. She acts over, meaning is this kind of sexualization of these young minds and these young souls. If you could comment on that.
It's a whole gamut.
Yeah.
You know, if they are being taken away from religion, if they're being taken away from spirituality, there has to be a replacement for it, right? So where do I get my solace? Where do I get my consolation? Where do I get my, you know, comfort, right? Mm. So somewhere they have to provide certain things through which you get comfort.
Satisfy.
So one of them is the sexualization of the whole cinema thing. Other thing that you've already pointed out, merchandises. So you buy something and you're like, okay, I got this. Nobody else has it, so I'm the god, right? So I have the huge collection of Star Wars, Lego collection of Star Wars, for example.
That's my identity as well.
That's exactly. And similarly, there are these who are, you know, get into these aspects of the movie where it's all about sensuality and, you know, having all those posters at home and then rare collection and all that stuff. So it's a whole gamut to keep you occupied. If this is not appealing to you, we will have this in place. This will appeal to you. If this is not appealing to you, this will appeal to you. So they have multiple angles, multiple aspects to attack. I think I mentioned about this earlier. Our soul has four faculties. Ghazab, Shahwat, Waham, and Aql. All the movies are focused only on these three.
The non-Aql ones. Either, so anger, passion.
Exactly. Yeah. Anger. So you find Iron Man and Captain America, Civil War, fighting each other. Or you have Hulk, who goes crazy when he gets angry. So he's a professor. He's an inventor. He's a scientist. And he's Dr. Banner. The moment he turns into this Green Hulk, he can't frame a single grammatically correct sentence. He says, Hulk smash. What happened to your grammar, right?
That's interesting. I never thought about that. Yeah,
so this is so that's what Islam says, that when you're angry, you don't have your senses in place, you lose your logic, you lose your rationale, you are not your normal human being anymore. You've become animalistic, right? And that's what we see in Hulk, right? Then you have Wham, living into a fantasy world like Harry Potter or Thor and Quantum Realm and all this thing. So they know that these are the faculties of
and the
human
Shava,
being.
And the carnal desires. Exactly,
Shava. So they know that these are the faculties. So if I want to attack these faculties and keep them away from Aql, I'll have to make sure that all these are, you know, planted into my movies in a way that if someone is not getting appealed by Ghazab, then at least there's Shahwat. If they're not getting appealed by Shahwat, at least there's Waham in there, living a fantasy world, right? Like you said, you know, people resorting to loneliness and thinking about alternate reality, it comes from here. And they make sure that this Aql part is totally eliminated from the movie.
And I'd like to add one more thing, and that is the amount of money that is being made here, right? So we think, oh, this is all just psychological soft war type things going on. Yeah, sure, that's one side of the coin. The other side is the millions and, you know, probably billion-dollar industry of not just the film itself, but the merchandise with the film and the advertising in these films. So, you know, you'll always have like a, I don't know, a Ford Mustang in these movies or a Cadillac or some kind of branding, Nike, Adidas, you know, Under Armour, these guys. They're making a lot of money off of these things, you know?
George Lucas, the guy from the Star Wars, he says, I'm not a movie producer, I'm a toy maker. Because he makes more money from his merchandises compared to, you know, from the movies that he's produced so far. So he said, I'm a toy maker, I make more money from here.
Sheikh Ali Himani, you know, I think this is perhaps the last episode that we have in the series.
Yes, this was our last episode
But I'm still going to try to convince you to come in and do some more when you have some time. But I'd like to just, you know, have you do like a conclusionary type thing on these series, because we had quite a few videos. And so I hand it over to you in the name of Allah.
All right. Thank you so much. Like we've discussed so far, and being from a psychological background, you know, I've done my master's in psychology and I know how the child psychology works. So there's a lot of emphasis on conditioning of the subconscious mind. We need to understand, and we've seen some clips here, that if we don't take care of our children, if we are not doing tarbiyah of our children, the screen, the black screen, is doing tarbiyah of our children. And if we hand our children on a silver platter to them, obviously they're going to put in their best efforts with all that money that you spoke about, billions of dollars being spent. They're going to do that and do tarbiyah of the children. The fundamental question here is that which side do I want my child to be on the day of the call, Hal Min Nasir, from the living imam of our time, when he says, where are my friends? Where are my supporters? Where are my Nasireen? Where do I want my child to be, right? Is Hollywood working? Are these movies working towards making my child a Nasir of the imam of the time? If not, then what should I as a parent be doing to make my child the Nasir of the imam of the time? Am I doing the right thing to put them in front of a TV for hours, letting them watch whatever they want to watch? Am I doing the right thing bringing them PS5 and getting them these games and just getting them to play it for hours and hours? And am I doing the right thing letting them, you know, be on the Snapchat and, I don't know, talking to whoever they want all through the night? Is this what going to make him the Nasir of the imam of the time? If not, then don't mistake. It is him who's going to be on the other side, exactly the way the Kufans did to the Imam Hussein. They sent the letters, and when Imam came to Kufa, they were on the other side. They were in the battlefield of Karbala. Imam pointed out, calling, Haris, weren't you the one who sent me this letter? He pointed out the letter with the signature, and then he turns his head away. This is exactly what is going to happen if we do not do the right tarbiyah of our children. And if the Imam of the time, you know, comes today, he, you know, he does zuhur, our children have to choose this side or that side. Look at my child today. It's upon me as a parent. If I look at my child today, can I say with conviction, with yaqeen, that he's going to be on the side of Imam Hussein? I mean, the Imam of the time, Imam Zaman, Jalla Allahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. If not, then now is the time to wake up. now is the time to jolt yourself out of this fantasy world before it's too late and start doing tarbiyah of your child. Let it not be so that he would be on the other side drawing his sword against the Imam of our time.
Jazakallah. Thank you so much, Sheikh Ali Himania. May Allah protect all of us, and a very good eye-opening series. And again, we definitely will invite you. So please keep it in your planner.
Inshallah.
Because this is good. It's necessary for the people. And may Allah bless you for your efforts.
Inshallah. Absolutely. My pleasure being here. I hope our audience enjoyed the program. And I hope there was at least something for each one to learn something out of it. And I'm really, truly praying from the depth of my heart that they be able to apply in their life and benefit from it, inshallah.
Inshallah. Allahi Amin. Thank you so much. And dear viewers, that's all from us. This was Reaction.